Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Maniatela.
So on our Listener's Choice feature this morning, we're discussing adoption and the legal process. What does it entail? How does it work? And I want you to ask questions if you need some clarity, if you want to share your experiences as well around adoption. So we're discussing the legal process around adoption and how it works, because many families consider adopting a child either because they feel they can provide a loving home for that child who needs a family, or because they're unable to have their own biological children. So potential adoptive parents have got to be prepared, because this process can be time-consuming. It can be frustrating. You're going to require a lot of patience. But it's also worthwhile at the end when it's complete and you're bringing in this new child into your home. So what questions do you have around the legal process of adoption and how it works? You can give us a call or send us a WhatsApp voice note. The number to dial is 011-883-0702. On the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. Caleb McKellar is an attorney and partner at Barter McKellar Attorneys. He's going to guide us through this conversation. Caleb, thanks for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Let's maybe start with what's the first thing to do when you want to start with the process of adoption? What's the first process?
Perfect. So if you are a parent or an adult looking to adopt a child in South Africa, you have to be registered on RACAP. And that's the Register of Adoptive Children and Prospective Adoptive Parents. So all parents that are looking to adopt must be registered on RACAP, and all children that are looking to be adopted must also be registered on RACAP. So obviously your next question will be, how does one register?
Mm.
You must approach a social worker who has been accredited as an adoptive social worker. And this accreditation is obtained by the social workers in addition to their ordinary training and accreditation. And they are accredited as such, being as adoptive social workers, by the Department of Social Development. They will take you through the process of registering the on-RACAP and doing the necessary checks with you as a parent looking to adopt. And once you are registered, you will then they will assist you with matching you mm-hmm. with a child.
Okay. So you said that, or maybe you're a child that wants to be adopted. How does that work? Can any child anywhere decide to put themselves on that system and register for possible adoption?
Well, ordinarily, the consent of the child is not required for the adoption. It should normally be the parent or the guardian of the child. If the child is a newborn or a young infant.
Mm-hmm.
The guardian there or whoever's looking after that child okay. will assist that child to be registered.
Oh, okay. I was a little confused.
Although if a child is to be adopted, you might say, where is the voice of the child? How does the child's voice get taken into consideration?
Mm.
Now, the Children's Act is the piece of legislation, in other words, the piece of law that governs adoptions in South Africa and also what we call inter-country adoptions. So if persons outside of South Africa wish to adopt children in South Africa. For the purposes of today, unless you have a particular question from the listener, we'll just discuss adoptions within South Africa.
Yeah.
So normally the consent obviously is required from the biological parents.
Mm.
And the Act does make provision for the consent being required from the child itself, themselves, if they are older than 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, the Act also provides for a child younger than 10 who the social worker believes is of the mental and emotional stage to give their consent or to hold their consent
mm-hmm.
to the adoption itself. But ultimately, this RACAP register and list is essential to match parents and also to obviously pre-screen any parent or person that's looking to adopt and pre-screen any child that is wishing to be adopted in South Africa.
What about children that are still incredibly young? So they're a few days old, they're a few months old. and there's a parent who wants to adopt, how do the guardians and what does the legislation say then about that consent? Is it the guardian then who consents on their behalf if they're at an orphanage? Is it the guardian? Is it the people who work there who would consent on behalf of that child?
Yeah, so the consent that's required in terms of the act, it has to be given by each parent of the child, even if the parents are not married, or any other person who holds guardianship rights over the child. Now, you can imagine there might be instances where a parent might be mentally ill, might have abandoned the child, may have abused the child, or consistently just not been in the child's life. So the act does stipulate instances where such consent can be dispensed with. But that needs to be made, it needs to be made by a social worker showing the court. Because remember, any adoption process, while you registered on RACAP, that's the first step. You then need to make an application in the children's court for the adoption to be legally binding. And in that application will be a report by the accredited adoption social worker explaining to the court these steps that are set out in the act, whether or not they have been met or not met. So explaining to the court that the parents have consented, and the parents' consent must be given at court. So it can't just be obtained in writing elsewhere.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, the act also provides for a 60-day period after a parent has given a consent to withdraw that consent, just to make sure that the parent is 100% certain, the biological parent. But, ultimately, your next question.
Okay, cool. So we've got calls already and some WhatsApps, listeners with some questions. But before I get to them, just on average, how long does the process usually take, and what's the cost?
So I'll ask you the question, how long is a piece of string? it's a very difficult question to answer, but I've consulted with some experts in the field leading up to today, and because obviously the cases I work on are limited, so I've consulted with other experts throughout the country. They've given me the answer of 6 months to 6 years.
Okay. Jeez.
And why is that the case? Because to understand that the social worker's report that is before the court can be very detailed. Often it needs to entail interviews with the family looking to adopt. So not necessarily just the parents that are looking to adopt, or the couple that's looking to adopt, or the single parent, but their entire family, because ultimately, adoption is birth by paperwork. So it's incredibly clean cut that takes place between the child and its previous family and then the new family. Although we'll get to the types of adoptions, which can include a post-adoption agreement where the contact can be maintained. But for the purposes of your question now, it can take a long time because sometimes consent can be difficult to obtain. Sometimes it can be difficult to obtain whereabouts of the parents. In certain circumstances and instances, it can be difficult to get the particular document that is needed from the Department of Social Development, confirming that the child is adoptable as defined in the Act. Sometimes there's a backlog there. There might be a backlog in terms of costs involved. The cost, depending on whether or not the child protection organization that you're dealing with and the adoptive social worker that you're dealing with, depending on whether or not they have some sort of subsidy in place.
Okay.
With the Department of Social Development, it might cost 7,000 to 8,000 rand, or it might cost upwards of 20,000, 30,000 rand. If it's inter-country adoption, it might be a couple of hundred thousands of rands, because there needs to be reports from various jurisdictions, depending on where the parties are residing who are looking to adopt.
But it's mostly administrative costs.
The most costs are administrative. Obviously, the Act itself doesn't prohibit any party from adopting based on financial difficulties.
Yeah.
But the courts will look at the party's financial means as any of their means, their emotional, psychological means, in terms of caring for a minor child.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the Children's Act is guided by the Constitution, and that requires that the child's best interests be maintained as paramount in any matter okay. concerning the child, and this would obviously be such a matter.
So okay.
The child's best interests are born first and foremost.
Okay, let's go to the calls now. Azrom in Mamelodi, good morning.
Yes, sir. Morning, my sir. Let me go straight to the question. Mm-hmm. The question is, can you adopt an adult? Why I'm asking this question is, the Constitution of South Africa is supreme law of the land. It governs everything, and there comes legislations which give effect to the Constitution. Now you'll find in our customary practices, wherever they would say, we're happily a man, there comes Ezra, who marries a woman with three other kids. They are adults and they've got kids and all those, and then they would say, we're happily a man. How does it apply in South African context, in South African law? Can that person explain in full as to what is happening in that respect?
Okay, thank you so much, Azram, for the question. Caleb, so Azram is asking about a situation where you are getting married as a man to a woman who comes with, let's say, three kids or two kids who are adults. And he's saying, culturally, that is allowed in that you take over the guardianship of those children. They become yours. You take over responsibility. But legally speaking, should there be is there a need for a legal process where you go and you become the official guardian and like quote unquote parent of this children? How does it work in that case? Because you're bringing them into your home.
Yeah, the Children's Act only applies to children as defined in the Act itself, which are any person under the age of 18 in South Africa. So as far as I'm aware, one cannot adopt an adult, but that's adoption. There are potentially ways in which one could care for a person that is over the age of 18. So you can be appointed legally as the guardian. But the adoption will unlikely to take place. I can't see an adoption being granted for a person over the age of 18, as the Act only provides for adoptions of children under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rudzani in Pretoria, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
Good, good. Go ahead.
My question speaks to what your guest just touched on now. The process of becoming a legal guardian. If you want to help someone financially, for example, if you want to get medical aid for them, things that you cannot do if they're not, you're not a legal guardian or if you have not adopted them. So I wanted to find out if that process is the same as adoption, and if maybe your guest can share more light on that process. How does it work? What does it take? Where does one start? Especially if the mom is still alive and everything, and you just want to assist financially with things that needs, like the child to be under your care or something like that, like medical aid, for example.
Yes, yes, got it. Rudzani, thank you for the question. Caleb?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So again, it's now only applicable to children, so those under the age of 18, but guardianship is completely different to the adoption process. So the guardianship provisions provided for in the Children's Act fall under a completely different section. So one can approach a court, a children's court, since all the higher courts in South Africa, to appoint an additional guardian to a particular child. So that will normally require the consent of the current guardians. You can appoint someone and remove someone as a guardian, which is again different to the adoption process. So an adult can become a guardian of a child without adopting the child. So the listener can apply to court together with the mother to appoint her as the co-guardian for the child. And then certain obligations will obviously arise due to that guardianship. The courts will then again normally require the family advocate's office to prepare a report to explain to the court why an additional guardian needs to be appointed, what the concerns are of the current guardian if they're unable to provide the support that they believe they should be able to support, and whether or not the guardianship is in the child's best interest. So this can be done at the children's court or the high court. And if your listener wishes to take it further, she advises to go to her nearest magistrate's court and speak to the clerk of the children's court to help her with the necessary forms can be completed.
And there's no age limit, so you can be a legal guardian and go through that process for someone who is over 18? That's Caleb?
Guardianship has to be done for a minor as well, so for a person that is under the age of 18.
Okay, got it. Laura, you're calling us from Bedford View. Good morning.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I'm all right, Laura. Go ahead.
Good. I wanted to know, I'm a single parent of two girls. I'm 60. Is there a limitation on the age, for example, my age of being 60? And am I, as a single person, able to adopt a child?
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Caleb?
So there's no, firstly, a single parent can adopt a child in South Africa. There's no discrimination based on a parent being single or married, or even the act even talks about partners in a permanent domestic life partnership. So there's even, again, no discrimination versus partners married or unmarried. So although there's no age limits on the actual person that are allowed to adopt in South African law, age will obviously be a factor that will be taken into account by the social worker. So, you know, it'll be taken into account. I can't speak to the exact circumstances of the listener, but age will obviously be a factor, and also health, any other issues that the potential parent has will be taken into account. So although we won't discriminate based on age, it is a factor that will be considered. And one can imagine that the age of the child that is being looked thinking to be adopted versus then need to be factored in.
Okay.
So a simple answer for that is, if you can adopt as a single parent, you can make application.
Okay.
I mean, just a quick one. Sorry if this is long. I work with orphanages. I run an organization called the Orphan Organization Trust. And I want to know, because we get this a lot where our donors have an interest in adopting or fall in love with one of the kids and they want to bring them home, but I'm always left with telling them how strenuous their process is. One is, are any efforts done to make the process more seamless and easy so that really we reduce the number of orphans we have in this country and take them into warm homes? Secondly, what does an orphanage have to do? Is there a government institution that works with orphanages to prepare the kids for adoption and introduce the parents into those orphanages who have an adoption, who want to adopt? Thank you. I think there's a lot of opportunity there because I have multiple donors who really would love to adopt sometime, but the process is just not friendly and easily to understand and requires resources that really shouldn't be the case if we are to take these kids out of the coffers of government social development budget. Thank you. Stylo from Zakane.
All right. Caleb?
Yeah, there's a lot in what's being said there. I recommend that the orphanage works directly with a social worker that's accredited as an adoption social worker and potentially partners with a child protection organization. So that the children can, if there are any children that are to be declared adoptable, that the accredited adoption social worker can assist with, such applications. In terms of the process, yes, it can be a burdensome and long process, but if you work with the correct social workers and the correct child protection organizations that are in the magistrates' courts on a regular basis, being the magistrates' courts in your jurisdiction where you will be applying. And this is sometimes why we suggest that you don't necessarily need an attorney to assist you with the process. But this is why we sometimes suggest to the client that before they, you know, be placed on the RECAP register, that they approach the social worker and ask the social worker, firstly, that they are accredited with DSD as an adoption social worker. And secondly, are they regularly in the courts before the magistrates making the applications for the adoptions? Because then they have a rapport with the magistrates, one, and two, they the reports that they are preparing are correct, because often the backlog can be, hurdles can be encountered in that the reports prepared by the social workers are maybe not complete or maybe not detailed enough for the magistrate who's going to be granting the order.
Mm.
So my recommendation to to the listeners is to work hand in hand with a social worker that is accredited. And start that process sooner rather than later. And then if the parents or the potential parents are looking to adopt, they can speak to such a social worker beforehand, be placed on the list. Yeah.
What about the issue of the contact between the adopted child and, let's say, their biological parent? How does that work? Can you, as someone who wants to adopt, decide on their behalf whether or not there must be contact? What considerations are made on that?
Okay, great. Yeah, so this kind of speaks to your question you're asking. Maybe there might be different types of adoptions. Technically, there's not a different type of adoption, but since 2010, there's an amendment to the Act which allows for a post-adoption agreement. So a post-adoption agreement is an agreement that can be entered into between the parents that are going to be adopting and the biological parents. Essentially, this agreement can vary, obviously, in terms of its terms, but, you know, it can provide that the biological parent or mother has contact, you know, once a week or once a month or once a year. Or it might just simply say that the new adopted parents are to send photos to the biological parents or to the social worker who will then pass them on. So there is room now for a post-adoption agreement. And this post-adoption agreement must be decided on before the adoption is granted. So it must be entered into before the adoption is granted. And the court will obviously look at it to determine that the terms of the agreement are one within the ambit of the Act. What I mean by that is that it's falls within the provisions of the Act, which deal with the post-adoption agreement. And secondly, that it's obviously just fair and reasonable and constitutional to all the parties that have signed it.
Yeah.
So there is room for biological parents to still maintain contact with the child.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, Caleb. I mean, there's obviously so much to discuss when it comes to this process because it's so detailed, but I appreciate you making time to take also some questions from some of our listeners who are interested in understanding more about this process of adoption, what the legal requirements are, what the expectations are, what you need to be ready, who you need to contact, and how you need to register as well. I appreciate you making time for us. That's Caleb McKellar, who is an attorney and partner at Barta McKellar Attorneys.